This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation. Welcome to Piece of the Action here on the Place to Be Nation book feed. I'm your host, Matt Souza, and I am very excited for tonight's show, so let's waste little time. You can hear his voice over on the wrestling feed on Chicken Salad, and along with myself, he is a member of the Impact Six on Highway to the Impact Zone. My guest tonight is Sean Kidd. Sean, how are you?
Good evening, Matt. I am extremely excited for the tonight's watch, and I'm not excited for the obvious reason. I'm actually excited because this movie is fucking awesome. So,
in case you haven't heard, tonight we will be watching the 1993 classic Demolition Man, starring Sylvester Stallone, Wesley Snipes, Sandra Bullock, Benjamin Bratt. Is that his name, Benjamin Bratt?
Benjamin Bratt, correct.
All right, very good. So it is, as of right now, as of this recording, available on Hulu. So we're going to watch it off of that. So Sean, if you are ready.
I am ready.
All right. In 3, 2, 1. So, Sean, this is going to be a recurring question I'm probably going to ask on every one of these podcasts. How did you come about this movie? Did you see it when it first came out? Did you come into it later?
Well, there's an obvious answer to this one. So I happen to work at the fine establishment this movie represents later in the film. And we actually did a cross promotion with the film when it came out and promoted it. So obviously we promoted it. I went and saw it and I fell in love with the movie and I've loved it ever since. So, yeah, back in 93, so I would have been 20 years old at the time. So, yeah, so I remember vividly when it came out for sure.
So I didn't see, I remember I was home one day just looking for something to watch and stumbled across this. You know, I was a big Stallone guy. I still am a big Stallone guy. I liked Wesley Snipes. You know, I liked the Blade movies and all that. And for whatever reason, I had never seen this movie. And I threw it on, and within seconds, I was like, this is one of the greatest movies of all time. I need to own this. So I watched it streaming in the morning, and I'm pretty sure that night I went out and bought the Blu-ray.
Yeah, I mean, the movie captures you right out of the gate. I mean, you see the opening scene with the helicopter. You know what else is great? So if you see the pilot in this helicopter, if you go back and watch the original Die Hard, he's one of the FBI agents that bazookas the building. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, so going back to 88, he's also in Die Hard. So that's just a little known fact that you probably didn't know when you're watching this. But, yeah, this movie's incredible and probably my second favorite Sylvester Stallone movie of all time.
Oh, it's incredible. If it wasn't for the Rocky movies, it would be my favorite, to be honest.
And that's kind of where I'm going with it. You know, I'm a big Rocky guy, too. So, yeah, but this one definitely takes – I would take this over the Rambo series and anything else he's done beyond Rocky.
Yeah, I think I would. I like the 08 Rambo a lot.
That is a good one, too.
But this is like, it's my favorite thing in action movies. It's action that doesn't take itself too seriously. Like, this movie's friggin' absurd.
Well, it's action, it's comedy. I mean, there's a lot of comedy in this movie, which probably more so than most action movies, which also makes it kind of interesting because when we get later in the film and what happens later in later years in this movie, there's a lot of crazy shit in it that just makes you crack up. But right now, this is great. You know, Sylvester Stallone just bombarding into a building out of a helicopter, doing what he does.
At this point, you have no idea what's going on, but there's already gunshots and fire, so.
Well, and how cool of an action name is John Spartan?
Like, right?
You couldn't have written a better name for an action hero. And then when we see the villain's name is even greater. So, John Spartan is badass.
So, I believe there's a sequel coming out.
Yeah, I think earlier this year, Stallone announced that they were doing the Demolition Man sequel. So that'll be great.
I'll be in the movie theater day one.
So you know what's interesting? So this current where they're at now, there's the villain. So the villain, Wesley Snipes, his name is Simon Phoenix, which is also probably one of the better action film names. So.
Wesley Snipes with a cigarette in his ear, earrings, bleach blonde hair.
Yep. So this
wearing
movie,
a checkerboard pattern leather jacket.
So the current time, so this movie actually goes into the future, but the current time is 96, which is actually only 3 years prior to when this movie was made. So I try to put myself in, is this 96? And it still looks too futuristic to be 96.
Stallone looking for hostages.
Yes, he's asking Simon Phoenix where the hostages are. And apparently this is kind of like a Batman Joker scenario. These guys have had an ongoing thing happening, and this is kind of the culmination of that. So very Batman Joker dynamic with these two. A lot of Joker in the Simon, if you really think about it.
Oh yeah, you can see it. Yep. Just even his mannerisms.
Yep.
He is intently pointing that gun. My God. Well, oh, that's bad.
Well, and earlier Simon like busted a bunch of freaking gasoline with a knife, and then he just lit a cigarette and threw it in. So this hostage is in the building, and he's trying to blow up the building, and now they're fighting.
Stallone jumps through the fire, tackles Wesley Snipes onto a table.
Well, Stallone is fireproof. I think we know that. We've seen it enough that in many movies he's jumped through fires.
So I'm pretty sure it was right around this point in the movie, the first time I watched it, where I was like, yeah, I should probably own this.
Yeah, I mean, this is probably the first 5-10 minutes of this immediately pulls you in and says,
it hooks you.
Totally. All right, so there's a bunch of, I guess, C4. Yeah, that's not good. Now he's going to run out of the building. Ah.
With Phoenix on his shoulders.
I think there's a scene in Rambo just like this with him running out of something. Looks exactly the same.
I mean, it's been a while since I've seen the Rambo movies, but you're probably right.
So they actually, I read up on this. They actually blew up a building for this scene in Kentucky.
Jesus.
So that's an actual building they blew up for this scene.
Boy, you better hope you get it right in one take.
Yeah, you should. Well, I guess I don't know how you can't. I mean, you blow up a building, it's going to look pretty badass. All right, so I'm tired. So his nickname is Demolition Man because every time he goes after villains, things get destroyed.
I mean, sure.
Yep. So now they're giving context that they've had this ongoing dynamic for 2 years. They haven't found the hostages.
They're handcuffing Mr. Phoenix as we speak.
So Stallone did a thermo check to see if there were any bodies in there, and he didn't find any like hostages inside the building.
Uh-oh. A nice long chat for the captain.
They just found bodies everywhere. They just found the hostages.
So when you picked this movie, I was trying to remember why what happens to John happens, and I completely forgot that that was the reason. Like, I knew they had a confrontation in the beginning, but I forgot why.
So the reason is he lied, and so Simon Phoenix just basically said, I tried to tell him that the hostages were in the building, but he didn't care. So they're gonna cast blame on Spartan for the hostages dying when he was known that he wasn't supposed to go in and take the kind of action he did. So legitimately, they do have a reason to, you know, if it were true, to send him to wherever he's going now.
Right. Wearing a paper thin, whatever that is, looks like a robe.
Well, you know, he is about to go into a cryo chamber, so you got to have some thin attire on. I don't remember. I think they could totally make it in this thing anyway. Not that I want to see this from Stallone. I don't need to see naked Stallone.
No, there's plenty of other places you can see that, I'm sure.
Unfortunately. So it's interesting. So in 1996, which 3 years after this movie was made, we're supposed to believe that if you've been sentenced, and Spartan's been sentenced to 70 years, you're supposed to go into cryo freezing for your trouble. In 1996.
I mean, it was L.A. They were kind of ahead of the times.
Yeah, but I mean, think about what were you doing in 96?
I mean, think about I was in kindergarten, so.
Well, there you go.
So. I would not be doing this. God, I forgot Jesse Ventura was in this. So he's going to cryo prison, cryo jail, or whatever they called it. That's probably not fun.
Well, I mean, if you're frozen, you really don't know. So, I mean, I think I'd rather do that than prison.
You'd know it at the time, though, and that's not a good feeling.
Well, and there's Stallone naked, which I feared. So. And Jesse Ventura is also in this movie. We forgot.
I know. That. Yeah. I just saw his name pop up. Yeah. I forgot all about that.
Oof, almost had a deadly shot in that one. Oof. Oh, no. What are we doing?
Very nice.
Oh, I think I just saw some sack there. Here, see that? So. It's
like... The Stallone bone.
Oh, there we go. I don't recall that much vividness when I saw this.
Well, high def, you know, it's different now than it was.
Yeah, a little different
you
now.
You can see things more clearly.
Sure can.
See his little Rockies.
His little Rockies.
So this movie years. Has a just has a look to it.
Yep.
And he's frozen. That's probably hell.
So you know what? For 93, that's some pretty badass special effects right there.
Oh, for sure.
That's fantastic. All right, so now they're logging him November 20th, 1996, and he's been sentenced to 70 years.
What the hell is that on his chest? A monitor?
I want to say probably. Well, I think that's how they measure their waves and everything, why they're in cryo-freeze.
Oh, yeah.
That would make sense, I think.
Make sure they don't dead when they're not dead when frozen.
Yeah, that would be my guess.
So we're just gonna keep staring at this shot of Stallone.
Well, you gotta get the opening credits in, so you want to make sure you see some butts, you see some biceps. You know, you got to see it all. Why we get everybody's name into the film of who's doing what?
It must be in Stallone's movie contracts that he has to be shirtless for like 5 minutes in every movie he's ever done.
Yeah, I wonder if he got extra pay for taking his bottoms off for this scene. So
that's probably double. Probably. We flash forward to 2032.
Yeah, you know what's really cool about this, though? You get a feel for the movie right out of, like, the first 10 minutes. You know exactly what's going on, which is really
cool. They don't screw around. They just write to it.
Yep. All right, so what are we at? We're at, is this 40 years later now? 2036?
32. 2032, I think it's
2032, okay. Yep. So we have some parole hearings taking place that are coming up with the warden for some of the people that are in cryo chamber today. So I guess they still do parole hearings back then. Oh, and there's my girlfriend. Probably the first movie I've ever seen Sandra Bullock in, to be honest with you.
Yeah, because this was Speed was 94, I think, right?
Yeah, I mean, she had been in other movies prior to this, but this is like her first mainstream role. And,
right.
You know, I've always had a Sandra Bullock thing where I just think she's like the cutest girl next door person, and I think she's adorable. Yep. So I find her very, very attractive.
I would agree with that.
Yep. She also has a very, very movie style name in this. I think it's, what is it, Leanna Huxley, I think is her name.
Yeah, it's something like that.
So whoever wrote this movie definitely had their movie names on par. So
be well, that becomes a common theme in this movie. You'll hear it a lot.
Yep. All right, so there's our first parolee they're doing a parole with. I also like the cars in this movie. The cars are pretty cool.
I was just going to say that, yep. Why don't cars drive themselves yet, except for Tesla? What the hell?
I don't know. This is 2032, and we're only, what, 12 years from that? We don't have this cool stuff.
Well, the way this world is going, it could be on fire by the time we're done with this podcast.
Yeah,
so.
By the time we get done with this, it could be the prehistoric age again. So. All right, so here's our first shot. This is
the Ethical Plaza.
Yeah, you'll see more of these guys later. You'll see who leads this kind of pack that's doing all this graffiti. What's really cool is they have all this technology where you can just spray graffiti and the wall automatically just wipes it all off.
I love that name, the Ethical Plaza. There he is.
So Dennis Leary leading the, I forget what they're called. Like the Morlocks from X-Men in this movie is what I call
them. They're the underground dwellers that live by their own rules, I guess, would be the best way to describe it.
Yeah, they don't like current society or whatever.
God, Rob Schneider. My God.
Yep.
Looking no older than, 22.
Yep.
So he must have been on SNL at this point, right?
I believe so. And I think he also does, if I'm correct, I think he does Judge Dredd with Stallone too, doesn't he? I think.
Oh, I don't know. I've seen that movie once and that was more than enough.
Yeah, I'd have to look it up.
The sequel's much better. Or the remake is much better. This guy looks like Mr. Clean running a police
He's been in a lot of different things. I know I've seen him. This is gonna drive me nuts. I'm one of those that have to know things.
So he was in the second Ace Ventura. I know that.
Yes.
And I couldn't tell you his name, but I know he was in that.
I'll figure it out. I'm gonna look it up. All right, so that's not him. Dennis Leary, Edgar Foley.
Sandra Bullock, Lena Huxley's been fined one credit for calling the police chief an asshole.
So here's one also, of the great things. Yeah, this is, go ahead. So go ahead.
Also a recurring theme in this movie.
One of my favorite parts of the movie from a comedy standpoint, because you have these machines and you get fined every time you curse, and they're just around random areas. And every time you curse, you get... And I think to myself, if I were in this movie, I would be living on the street because I'd have no money. Because I would literally either that or I'd be in jail for life for cursing. It's a very funny part of the movie, though.
It's so good. Nice Red Hot Chili Peppers plaque poster in the background for Blood Sugar Sex Magik. Is that a Lethal Weapon poster I saw earlier?
Yep.
Benjamin Bratt looks like he's 18 in this movie.
Sure does.
Phoenix is out of cryo prison.
So her commander was the warden in Shawshank Redemption. That's where I remember him from. That's where I remember him from.
there's the difference between movie tastes. You bring up Shawshank Redemption, I bring up Ace Ventura.
Well, he was the sanctimonious asshole in that movie too. So
he plays it well.
Yeah, he plays it well. All right, so here we are with Simon's parole hearing.
Speaking in Spanish for some reason.
Well, clearly he's been programmed. So I think you find out they do programming with them while they're out to kind of rehabilitate a little bit within their minds.
Calls him a teddy bear.
Oh, and shit's on now. Simon is on the loose.
Oh, that's a problem.
Oh.
Simon says die. Yes.
Diamond Says Die.
God, so good. He is so great in this movie.
All right, so he just took out two, and he's about to take out number three.
I would say up until last year, this is probably my favorite Wesley Snipes role.
Oh, what's your favorite now?
Did you see Dolomite, the Dolomite movie that Eddie Murphy was in?
I have not.
Oh, it is. He is incredible in it.
Okay.
So good.
So he...
Whoops.
He just pulled the guy's eye out so he could use it for an eye scanner. He's just walking around with it on a scalpel.
I mean, how else is he going to get through the door? I mean, that seems practical to me.
He really is smart and adapts very quickly for someone who's been under for 29 years.
He knew exactly what to do.
So 187 still means murder, so that's good. So now everybody's wondering what 187 is because no one has seen the code ever. What's a 187?
Right. That's the other thing with this movie, too, is that crime is basically non-existent in this future world.
Oh, so code 187 means murder, death, kill. And the computer consistently just says murder, death, kill over and over again. Last recorded offense was 2010. So they have not had a murder or death or a kill in 22 years at this point.
And they've had two in 10 minutes.
Yeah, well, three if you count the guy with the eye, unless he's still alive.
Oh, no, he's still alive.
He's still alive. Oh, wait for it. Wait for it.
Severe eye trauma.
But wait, oh, it's about to happen. Watch the death scene. Here we go. Vital signs failing. Imminent death. And he's dead.
Oh, God.
That was a very long death scene.
Snyder throws up. Oh, God.
Oh, and then when people die, they read to you what day they were born and when they died. That's pretty funny. 3-9 sanctioned life terms. Life terms. So the older gentleman here, I think, is the only one that's been around long enough to really understand how the old ways were.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so now they're looking up the morning hearings. It's Phoenix, so that guy knows who Simon Phoenix is.
He must have been around in the old days.
Yep. I know him. He's evil in every way.
You think so, huh? He's walking around with an eyeball in his pocket. I'd say that's pretty.
So I will say one of the things about this movie that's not exactly great is the script and the acting, the words they have to say, because it's really generic dialogue that they use. It's really, really, I mean, whoever wrote the dialogue probably needs some help, but it still doesn't.
he
declared his own kingdom. In a bad time, he was the worst. Very generic dialogue. But you know what's great about it being generic? It makes it very easy to understand.
Right.
And who doesn't like a good murder, death, kill?
Just that alone, murder, death, kill. You couldn't think of something else to call it?
But that's, yeah. Maybe that's because of this. Maybe they were trying to do that from a comedy element, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, they just had another one. You went to a Simon coroner.
Oh, now there's a car missing.
It's interesting to watch this because none of them have any clue what to do.
It's so great. Nice to know they had GPS then.
Well, I would hope so. And so, of course, Sandra Bullock is very excited, you know, because they have a murder, death, kill. So she's excited that some action is happening because they never have any action. So could you imagine being happy about a murder happening because you're so bored?
No, can't say that I can.
And they're giving themselves high fives because they located them. They haven't apprehended him. They're just happy that they found him.
I want that car that Simon Phoenix is driving.
Yeah, that's really cool. So interesting. He also adapted to learn how to drive new technology cars really fast.
And somehow he was able to stop for overalls and a nice new shirt.
Yeah, he's smart man.
CompuChat.
Greetings, citizens. How are you feeling on this glorious day?
You know, I think in these troubling times, we could use a thing like this that would say nice words to you.
You know,
out in public.
You're absolutely right. Or you could use it in your own home if you choose to stay at home because you don't want to go out into today's society. Just wake up and your computer tells you how glorious you are every day. I could live in that.
Hey Siri, tell me how good I am.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Edgar Friendly, that's Dennis Leary's name.
Yeah,
that's
so right. It keeps repeating in his brain. So somebody's implanted this name in his brain, and obviously a programmed him as someone that he wants to kill.
There's murder, death, kill again.
So obviously someone wants to kill Dennis Leary because he's doing some underground shenanigans. So I'm sure we'll find out who later.
Gun, noun, portable firearm. Referred to as a pistol.
In the urban wars of the late 20th century.
Oh, he's been fined a credit.
Yep.
Oh, because... there's another one.
Oh. What? Fuck you. Your repeated violation. This is great.
My God, you swear twice and the police is after you? Oh boy, we'd be screwed.
Oh, I would have been in jail a long time ago. All right, here come the cops.
The verbal morality statute. This should end well.
Yeah, I don't know how this is going to go for them.
I like their chances.
And what do they have? Like little stun sticks or something?
I love how it tells him what to do.
Yeah, they don't even know what to do.
Is that shirt mesh? Oh boy, this is the 90s. That's so great, giving him step-by-step instructions on what to do. Say, or else. You see, they think that they have him surrounded, but knowing action movies like I do, the villain usually wins this one. This early in the film.
Yeah, I mean, because if they were apprehended, clearly the movie would suck. Oh, and there you go.
And here we go.
Simon is just speeding the whole police force.
We're police officers. We're not trained to handle this kind of violence.
Wow. Yeah, Simon's just totally kicking everybody's ass.
Whoops. That windshield broke a little too easily.
Well, he didn't want the cop to get away, so.
Oh, that's a good point.
Now Simon's just playing with this poor guy. Stupid.
All the cops mortified.
And off he goes.
Simon says everybody stay. And now he's singing the national anthem.
Yeah, there's definitely Joker-like feels for this guy, for sure.
Oh, yep.
Which is okay. Wesley Snipes does a really good job in this role.
speaks to how good the police force is. He was able to take down every single monitor in the police station with one shock stick.
Yep. Within six blocks, too, by the
Six blocks.
It seems like Leanna Huxley is the only one in this precinct with a half a brain.
Oh, and they blew up a cop car.
Brilliant.
This Simon Phoenix guy, he seems like bad news.
I think so. We need to find out how to fix this. What are we going to do? This guy's a total douche, too. I guess he's like the mayor or whatever. I don't know what he is.
Yeah, I think he runs LA somehow.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll describe it. I can't remember exactly what it was.
I don't know if you've ever seen it, but he reminds me of the, what's his name? Baltor or whatever from Battlestar Galactica back in the day. He's wearing the same exact robe and outfit. He led the Cylons of Battlestar Galactica. He looks just like this guy.
Jeez.
Yeah, showing my age. That was 78, Matt. Sorry.
Before my time.
Yeah. It's before most people's time. It's okay. So this guy's main goal is to apprehend this friendly guy. Because he's infecting our harmony with venom.
You know, Demolition Man, obviously a trendsetter, because that's really the only way you can have meetings right now. It's like that.
Hey, it's Beetlejuice guy.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
He was I'm drawing a blank.
He was the spiritual advisor guy.
Yes. Thank
yeah.
You. Yep.
And he looks exactly the same in this movie. Yeah. Same exact part, too, but like, almost. Murder, death, kills, all categories of chaos.
Embrace your calm. Be well them for me. You know, this dialogue isn't great, but there is something about it.
Because it's simplistic in helping tell the story, and you know what? That's what you needed for this movie. Because there's, like, if you think about it, I don't even know how many minutes we're into it. So much has happened in a short amount of time, and I think the dialogue being short and to the point and somewhat kindergartenish has probably helped us with this movie, to be honest with you.
Right.
Dr. Cocteau.
It's not a movie that needs a ton of dialogue, to be honest.
No, not at all. You don't need dialogue. It's pretty self-explanatory.
There's the villain. Stallone's going to fight him.
Yep.
So SAPD, what did that stand for? San Angeles? Is that what it is?
Yep, San Angeles.
Yeah. Ooh, he had a video bite on Unsolved Mysteries. Did Simon Phoenix.
Oh, yeah? Good for Simon.
They called him...
John Spartan.
The Demolition Man. I mean, that is a pretty cool name. I'm not going to lie. I wish I was called the Demolition Man.
Yeah, I could live with that nickname.
Oh, she knows who John Spartan is.
Well, he's a legend. She's a historical study on him. I think he's like one of her... She idolizes him. 7 million. To rescue a girl who's only 25,000. This is your recommendation? He's an animal. He's clearly a man for a job. This dialogue is something else. He's muscle bound and grotesque. Need an old fashioned cop to get an old fashioned criminal. It's that simple. All right, so now they're going to unfreeze him.
What the hell was that they were using to unfreeze him? Just use fire! Don't need that fancy laser thing. I know it's the future, but fire would work.
I really think the special effects in this movie so far are really good.
Oh, yeah. It's still look great. We're here, what, 27 years later?
I mean, yeah. It's kind of like watching Terminator 2. You see that, and you're still amazed at what they did in 92 with that movie.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I just watched Terminator 2 not that long ago, and it still holds up, I can say. Breaking news here, hot take, Terminator 2 still holds up.
Yeah, still an all-timer. Should have named my first child Spartan. No, I named the second one Phoenix. I wish I had thought of that at the time. I'm really disappointed in myself.
Spartan Kid is a hell of a name.
So is Phoenix. Those two badass names.
Well, they're under 18. You can still change their name.
Yeah, I don't think my wife would let me change their names to Spartan and Phoenix. I think I'd probably get a big fuck you on that one.
What about a middle name? Middle name compromise?
Yeah, probably not. There's family family history in those middle names, so I'd probably get a big F you on that too. Oh, there we go. More naked Stallone buttocks for everybody. Gosh.
The contractually obligated nakedness of Sylvester Stallone.
How old is he in this movie? Do we even know?
I don't know if they say. I mean, he's obviously the same age he was when he was frozen, so.
I wonder how old is he in real life in this movie? So he's 40, he's 47 in this movie.
Yeah, he's 73 now.
Yeah, he's 47. Wow, still looks good for 47. He's the age I am. I wish I looked half as good as he does. And I think Sandra Bullock is actually aged pretty well, too.
Yeah, and she was young here, I would imagine, yeah. Right?
Yep. So she would have been, let's see.
She's probably in her 20s, if I had to guess. Her light was extinguished in the big one of 2010 about his wife.
So she's 29 in this movie.
Oh,
she's
wow.
29 at the time. Wasn't she in the last... She was in the... Oh, no, she was... never mind. I was thinking of something else.
So Mr. Spartan just found out his wife died in a... I guess there was a massive earthquake in 2010 that they called the big one, and his wife passed away in that.
His wife died from the big one.
There's a joke somewhere in there.
There is. A very childish joke, but it's there.
Well, this is a very childish podcast, so by all means.
Yep. So they've had 11 murder death kills so far since 2010 within the last 24 hours. And now she's explaining to him what the new society is.
No and deaths of unnatural causes in San Angeles in 16 years.
Yep.
His face so great. What the fuck is going on? You get me a Marlboro.
Oh, that's yeah. He wouldn't be saying that if the movie was made today. It's a cigarette. Those are faux pas nowadays.
You get me the weed.
Smoke. There you go. Hey, go get me the weed. Where's my hemp? There's no alcohol. There's no caffeine. No cigarettes. Are you shitting me? John Spartan, you are fine.
And Spartan's being fined. This is one of the best parts of this movie.
Yep. Yeah.
He keeps getting fined.
Pregnancy is legal if you don't have a license. Oh, he just got called a caveman by the asshole Sergeant Commander.
Turn me into an ice cube for my trouble.
So the conditions of his parole is he's got full reinstatement to apprehend Simon Phoenix, or he goes back into the chamber.
I love how she calls him by his full name, John Spartan. I've seen that guy somewhere before, too. He's done some stuff, that yeah. Character actor.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of stuff, too.
That uniform is way too small. Oh, they're out of toilet paper in the bathroom.
Oh, yeah. Could you imagine the movement you have to make after being in the chamber for that long?
Right?
That must be one hell of a... I would imagine that's like a week-long experience.
The longest piss of all time.
Well, I wasn't even just thinking about that. I was thinking about the other one. Yeah, I was thinking about the big shit you're going to drop. And now you have to use seashells? How does that even work?
I'm not going to find out. I'm good.
Do they explain that? They don't, I don't think.
I think it's better left to the imagination.
Such a caveman. He doesn't know how to use a seashell on his butt.
Oh, so he knows that guy.
Yeah, it looks like he was a rookie.
And he gets fined again. If you read my study, you'd know this is how heterosexual males bonded. See, now that's clever. You keep swearing at the machine to get paper so he can wipe his ass. That John Spartan, I tell you, always thinking on his feet.
That was brilliant, actually, what he just did.
If given the option between that or seashells, I mean...
Well, I'd rather take fines than walk around with an uncomfortable, you know, feeling.
Oh, this is true.
This guy keeps calling him caveman. Oh, he has an implant in him. You should leash up my ass.
You didn't find one credit.
You dirty meat eater. Wow, this dialogue is... I can't get over it.
I should start calling people a meat eater. See how far that gets me.
I would be greatly not offended if someone called me a meat eater. I'm very proud of being a meat eater. He'll attempt to set up a drug lab and form a crime syndicate, so their computer is telling him this information. There goes the buzzer again.
Oh, God, that's so great. It kills me every single time I see this movie.
He's going for a gun, you idiot.
Those glasses he's wearing are weird. Yeah. Makes him like Mr. Peanut type of...
Or the guy from Hogan's Heroes.
Monopoly guy type shit.
Yeah. All right, so now, John Spartan's very smart. Not only can he cuss and get toilet paper, he's now deducted that maniac Simon Phoenix will go to a museum to find a gun because that's the only place he can find a gun. Phoenix is the smartest man. Not Phoenix, but Spartan is the smartest man ever. Great police officer.
You are now entering the Hall of Violence.
This is like going to an amusement park for Simon Phoenix.
If you go past the Tunnel of Love, you've gone too far. The Hall of Violence is on the other side.
So the guns apparently are maximum security. So Stallone wants to drive.
That's too many screens. You don't need that many screens to drive a car.
Yeah. Purely a faux pas at the time for what they thought they needed for the year 2032.
Turns out it was the same thing in, you know, yep. Now. Ah, the awkward car ride.
that's a dumb comment. You're very much alone. Well, yeah, I've been frozen for...
Yeah, I've been in a block of ice for, you know, let's say the last 3 decades.
So the most popular radio station in town is the old classic commercials. So the first one they played was Pepto-Bismol commercial on the radio.
That sounds like a hell.
And now they're singing the Armor hot dog song. Oh, my God. It's like police romper room.
Can you imagine?
Well, his face says it all in the back seat.
Right. That would be me.
Uh-huh.
Somebody put me back in the fridge. I agree. That sounds like a nightmarish hellscape.
So it's a pretty cool museum. I mean, they got army gear. I mean, it looks very historical from a violence standpoint. Looks accurate.
Well, he's in the Hall of Violence, I mean.
Well, I know, but I mean, I think the scenery is very good. I think they did a good job setting this hall up to make it look realistic.
Oh, he's so giddy that he found the guns.
So now he's trying to figure out how to get it out.
Oh, that didn't work.
Ooh, ow. Oh, motherfucker.
Why is this judge coming to stop him? What's he going to do? Mellow greetings.
What seems to be your boggle?
Oh, so into the glass.
So ask him how much he weighs. And so realistically, though, if security were as tight in the future as it should have been, there's no way even his body would have broke that glass.
No.
So now everybody's leaving the museum. Oh, he's got a nice gun there.
You know, he brings up a good point. Where are all the phaser guns?
Yep, that's a really good point. And now he's just going to go around and shoot the place up and find all the guns.
Please exit rapidly.
So he's learning how to use this, what is it called, magnetic something or another gun?
Yeah, accelerator gun, is that what it said?
Yep. Is there a battery storage?
Whoa! Okay.
Oh, look at that security. Oh, and there they go.
Magnetic accelerator gun. I was close.
Looks pretty good.
There's so many one-liners in this. You know, say what you want about the dialogue and the non-action scenes, but he has, Simon Phoenix, there's so many one-liners he has in this movie.
Oh, I agree. I think the Phoenix and Spartan characters are really well done. And even Leanna Huxley is done pretty well.
Yeah.
She's looking mighty fine in that outfit, by the way.
Excuse me, Rambo, I need to borrow this, huh?
Got to promote the other Stallone movies. Hey, Luke Skywalker, use the Force.
A glow rod.
So he just randomly walks up to somebody. That's amazing. That's a pretty powerful weapon, though. If you just do that and they knock him out, that's pretty good.
For a community that doesn't use violence anymore, I mean.
So why don't they, so I guess it would not be any fun if they just took the rod up to Simon's head and he dropped. That wouldn't make for a very good movie, I guess.
No, that would end the movie, in fact. Yeah. Then everybody goes home early. It would be a TV special or something. I love that name, Hall of Violence.
Yeah, it is pretty good. Oh, here we go. First confrontation in 30 years.
Oh, he's got the cannon loaded, because of course he does.
So I'm curious where he found the... I want to know how he fired that cannon.
Uh, That must have been in the alcove of ammo next to the Hall of Violence.
Simon says bleed. There's some good line one-liner. Yeah.
He calls the gun a space age piece of shit. Well, that's not very nice. There's an awful lot of glass being strewn about.
Yeah. Very diehardish.
Yeah.
So he's grabbed a bunch of weapons and off he goes.
I'm sorry, but Stallone looks goofy as hell wearing that hat.
Yeah, the outfit sucks.
It does. It does not. Yeah. It does not work.
Yeah, the outfit sucks.
Not even the outfit. It's more the hat that's upsetting. At least give him like a helmet or something. And he shoots the chandelier and breaks through the glass floor to whatever that underground thing is. Is that a recreation of old Los Angeles? Is that what that's supposed to be?
I guess. Now, this scene right here looks very stage-ish, right? It looks like a studio stage. You can definitely see it. Yeah.
I mean, unless that's by design because it's a museum.
Oh, maybe. But it looks like one of those things I would see on a Universal Park ride going through the ride. That's what it looks like.
Like the earthquake ride or something.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It reminds me of the earthquake ride.
How did he get all these kung fu skills while he was frozen? Is that a shovel or a sign? What the hell did he just hit him with? Now he's swinging a TV wildly.
That was a big-ass TV, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this was the 90s. All TVs were big-ass TVs. Even the small TVs were heavy as fuck. I don't miss those days, that's for sure. And Simon Phoenix escapes. These two chuckleheads. What the hell was he carrying? Was that a Flavor Flav clock? What is that? A frying pan? What the hell is that?
All right, so Simon escapes. So for some reason, Simon can't shoot this guy.
No kiss, kiss, no bang, bang.
Oh, so clearly here. So now you know who's behind Simon at this point.
There's a conspiracy afoot. Yes.
So he's programmed this guy. He's programmed Simon to go kill Dennis Leary's character, the underground dweller leader.
It's Edgar Friendly. Is his name.
What a horrible name that is.
It's pretty bad. They must have ran out of names at that point. What should we call him? I don't know.
Well, they took up all the cool names of everybody else, so they really had nothing left. I still don't know what that big damn thing that guy is.
I keep trying to figure it out. What is that? It looks like a chrome bullseye or
lunchbox. I don't know.
A frying pan. I mean,
yeah, I was thinking maybe a lunchbox, griddle, a quesadilla maker. I don't know. What the hell is that thing over there?
I always bring my quesadilla maker with me wherever I go.
Well, I do.
It's my security blanket.
I bring it everywhere.
Well.
Yeah.
You really licked his ass.
She's so stinking adorable in this movie. Oh, so who is this man? John Spartan. So now he's upset. He's internally upset that they've released Spartan to go after Phoenix because he's the one doing this whole conspiracy.
At least Stallone took the hat off. He looks much better now.
Yeah, the hats look really dumb.
Someone told him offset, "You look fucking stupid." There's something shady about this fella, and it's more than the Simon Phoenix stuff.
So now he's going to invite them to dinner tonight at the greatest restaurant of all time. The Taco Bell, they're going to have dinner tonight.
Now, a question I must ask. Is this why you love this movie so much? Because of the tie-in?
No. I obviously I worked at the time there, but... And we did a promotion for, but no, I mean, probably initially, but I was a big Stallone fan anyway. I loved Rambo and action movies, so I was going to see it no matter what. It just happened to be a great thing that we promoted it, which is great.
It didn't hurt, is what you're telling me.
No, and I don't know if you know this, but back in 2018 at Comic-Con in San Diego, we recreated the Demolition Man restaurant at Comic-Con for the 25th anniversary of the movie.
I did not know that.
Yeah, if you look
that
up...
That sounds incredible.
Yeah, so if you look up Demolition Man at Comic-Con in 2018, you could probably see video and features of it. But it was a big thing. We did a whole thing there. So.
Huh.
So they redid this whole building into the Restaurant of the Future and served Demolition Man's food there. I wanted to go, but I couldn't get out there. So, but I really wanted to go because that would have been great.
That sounds amazing. So basically, in this universe, Taco Bell is your fancy fine dining, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it's the last restaurant. It won the Great Restaurant Wars.
Right.
Which, you know, I mean, it's a little off, but, you know, like I told you, I told you before the movie, we started watching this, back in 93, Taco Bell was a very, you know, niche. It wasn't like the big dogs, like your McDonald's and the other ones. And back then it was a little known commodity, and now you look at it now, it's on par with the rest of them. Back when this movie was made, Taco Bell wasn't a surprising choice because it was a very unknown quantity, and that's what they were going for in this.
Right.
So it's interesting.
And I'm sure it helped.
I'm sure it did.
The public consciousness for sure.
Yep.
And let's be real, Taco Bell's fucking great. I ain't gonna lie.
Well, I you're not gonna hear any argument out of me on that.
What would have been on a Taco Bell menu at this point?
Some of the stuff you still have on a menu now. I think, you know, back then, because it was such a niche business, you didn't have a lot of, like, the diversity you have now. Like, we didn't have quesadillas. We didn't have anything like that. But you had things like pizzas, tacos, burritos. And, you know, now, though, like, at Taco Bell, you get 6 weeks, you get a new item every 6 weeks. Back in this day, you didn't do that kind of stuff. You just stuck with what you had. Very similar to McDonald's. It was very McDonald's is very chicken nugget, very quarter pounder, and we were the same. We were very tacos, burritos, same thing.
Hmm.
Things have changed a lot.
Yeah. So all restaurants are Taco Bell.
So what you'll see is when they go to this restaurant, so first off, that logo is incredible.
Yeah,
but I think it's pretty funny. But and look at the restaurant; it's like fancy. You got like valet parking, and God, how great does Sandra Bullock look right now? Okay. And so when you go, so you get a piano player now at the Taco Bell in the future,
singing commercial songs,
singing commercials. Yes, but I think if you see the food in this, I do think there's some visuals of the food that they serve and. It just isn't reality. And here comes the Neanderthal. I like that they've called him every name in the book that relates to an old person. So in this movie, they would be calling me a Neanderthal. So you got to look at this. Like, look at that. Yeah. There is no way in hell
No, that, I've never been to a Taco Bell that served that.
No, this is no.
That wouldn't fill up anybody. That was like three chips on a plate.
Yeah, there's not a 10-pack of tacos on that plate.
No. Man, I could go for some tacos right now. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. I mean, I would put a hurt. I mean, I put a hurt any time I eat Taco Bell, I put a hurt on it. I don't eat it very often anymore, but I used to eat it every day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would do it.
It's still my favorite fast food restaurant, though. I can honestly 100% say that.
I think I would agree.
So now with the Beetlejuice guy here, I wonder if they're all going to stand up and start singing the Deo song.
Bring in Winona Ryder. We brought her in for this special scene.
I would love to see Sylvester Stallone get up and start doing that song. That'd be pretty damn funny.
Alec Baldwin and Gina Davis floating.
Yep. It's interesting. The Beetlejuice guy has the same demeanor, the same role. Like, they probably just had to say, be the guy you were in Beetlejuice. They probably didn't even have to give him a script.
What you did there, do that here.
Yeah, just skip the Harry Belafonte song.
We're having a deep conversation at this here Taco Bell about the cryo prisons and the cryo sentencing.
With really shitty food, by the way. That's really disappointing to see. So Stallone and this guy are not hitting it off at all.
No. Stallone not happy that he was in a block of ice for 40 years, and really, who could blame him? A brutish fossil.
Like, who is this woman? Oh, dear. Did you just call him that?
She called him a brutish fossil.
Wow. She's a real bee, isn't she?
Uh-oh.
So Spartan sees this thing out of the ground, and there's a road warrior.
Took the words right out of my mouth. Buddy, you're looking for the next set over.
You're in the wrong movie.
Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome is filming that way.
So now he's chasing the guy on a motorcycle. I really don't know why. Oh, there's why.
That would do it.
All right, so the Morlocks are invading. That dress is something else.
Oh, yeah. They're grabbing food.
Well, clearly they're not getting a lot of food at Taco Bell based on the plates that I just saw.
You get one chip.
Yep.
Make that last. You'll regret this the rest of your life, both seconds of it. What a line.
I literally think you're right. I think they took the actors from Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome and put them
in. Where's, what's his name? Lord Humongous.
Where's Mel Gibson? Oh, I guess that's what Dennis Leary. He's playing Mel Gibson.
That's a shame.
Yeah, what a real tragedy that is. And you know what? Dennis Leary in this movie makes no sense because he's a primarily comedian, so I feel like there's some bad casting in this with him.
Yeah, that always kind of bugged me too. Like, yeah. And it's not like, it's not like he was really well known. I mean, I'm sure he was, like, in the comedy clubs and whatever, but he wasn't like if Dennis Leary would do a movie like this now, you know?
Correct.
Rescue Me hadn't happened yet, is what I'm saying.
Well, he was a stand-up comedian at the time, and I think, what is that, Taco Bell in a bottle? What is that, Taco Bell, not Taco Bell drugs?
Taco Bell Centrum Silver or something.
What are we doing? It's like Taco Bell meth in a bottle. Yeah, I feel like the X-Men could sue for copyright infringement for these underground dwellers.
They are a society of thieves, according to the Beetlejuice fella.
The last criminal element in the entire city. So Sandra Bullock.
She just mentioned Laserdisc. Is Laserdisc the only video medium available
apparently
in this world?
Well, you got to think stuff like Blu-ray and everything. Nobody thought of that back in 93. I think for what they had at the time and what they thought it would be, they did pretty good.
Yeah, that's to be honest, that's probably the most futuristic of the home video stuff.
So Leanna Huxley is very turned on at the chaos she watched. It's okay, you yelled at me. It was very hot.
There's that dialogue again. Booty troubled past gunslinger. I feel like, isn't there a sci-fi writer with the last name Huxley?
I'm sure there. Yeah, I think it's based. Yes, actually, hang on a second. I think the movie might be based on the author of something that was written similar to this.
Really?
Hang on. I'll look it up. I think I read that.
Did I sound smart for a minute? That must be a mistake.
You actually did.
Wow.
Let's see.
First time for everything.
Let's see. I don't want to miss their banter because I think it leads to some stuff. So hold on. Yes. Right. Some aspects of the film allude to Aldous Huxley's 1932 dystopian novel Brave New World. Look at you, Matt.
Look at that. See that?
How the hell did you know that?
I must have learned something in school.
Wow. Kudos to you. Well, now it makes sense why they made her last name Huxley.
See?
Wow. Not only is this a great watch, it's also very educational.
Stay in school, kids. Stay in school. You two will be able to pinpoint sci-fi writers in all your favorite action movies.
Whether you go back to school or learn from home, make sure you stay in school.
And now Simon Phoenix dressed in the Mad Max garb.
Yeah. I want to know where he's getting his cool outfits. Like, he had his overalls, and I guess he's just randomly killing people and taking their stuff.
I mean, I would imagine. I can't imagine he's paying for it.
Similar to the Terminator when he shows up nude and just randomly kills somebody and grabs their clothes.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, so now Simon's just randomly saying things that he has no idea why he knows.
He's been given a set of skills.
Data points for him to kill Ed Friendly. So they do his rehabilitation during the cryo, but his rehabilitation was to still kill somebody when he got out.
A little less than, what's the word I'm looking for? Nice, I guess.
Yes.
Oh, he needs a crew. Simon Phoenix does.
And one of those crew members happens to be one Jesse Body the Ventura.
So why does he need a crew when he took out six cops by himself?
That's a great question. Well, because underground are a bunch of dwellers, and they seem to be able to fight better than the cops do. So,
yeah, that's probably a fair point. But it's Dennis Leary.
Yeah, but Dennis Leary had some good henchmen in that.
So, yeah. I mean, all Dennis Leary can really do is call you an asshole, and that's it.
Yes. That's and a great song, by the way.
I don't even think that had happened yet.
He wants Malibu, Santa Monica. It's all the cities.
Seriously, what is he wearing?
I don't know. But this other guy's an asshole. I like him.
He has a punchable face.
He really does.
He took care of Spartan once, he's gonna take care of him again. Needs some men defrosted. Could be a sex thing, depending on who you ask.
Alright, so now they're going back to Leanna Huxley's house, which looks like it's a pretty slamming building she lives in.
Yeah. It's like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, they must pay cops well to do nothing. That is a pretty cool apartment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, look at that. That's amazing.
Look at that neon Pepsi sign in the back.
Why is Stallone? Why is Stallone dressed as a ninja? Like, he's even got the little tie down thing happening. It's like,
is that a picture of John Kennedy?
It is. In front of a rocket, behind a rocket gumball machine. All right, so now she's talking about having sex. I observe your behavior, and my result condition is, oh my God, this is amazing. So Stallone's like, hell yeah.
Oh, that's rather forward.
Well, yeah, but it's not what he's thinking. Like, he's thinking, hell yeah.
Oh,
you?
Yeah.
Hell now, yeah.
Now, if I recall, it's not what you and I would call sex. It's a little different, if you will.
No, but you know what's interesting about this, though? So he just woke up from cryo, right? So he's still in love with his wife. He wakes up, and he's quickly forgotten that his wife is dead. And now he's ready to have sex with Sandra Bullock. So apparently the dead wife doesn't mean anything at this point. So maybe a little bit of, look at that outfit. I swear to God, he's dressed as a like he's going to the Karate Kid tournament. We're in the wrong movie. Mr. Miyagi's going to walk out instead of Sandra Bullock in a minute. That's a crazy outfit. And they're like sitting down. Like, look at her now. She's in a freaking kimono.
And she just put a helmet on him.
So in 1993, but I guess in 2029 or 30, whatever the hell it is, they mind meld sex apparently with these helmets.
As you do. Stallone is all confused, rightfully so.
Which in theory would probably be okay because there's not as much effort you put forth and it's probably a little less messy. So look at her. That's like your mind of a new romance. It's like, what are we doing? Now, this is one of the most disturbing Stallone scenes I've ever watched because I don't need to see Stallone having orgasm face. Look at him. This is disturbing. She's all happy and he's all like, ugh. Yeah. Most disturbing scene in the whole movie. And the love boat's playing in the background. Look at him. It's like, oh.
It's something.
Oh, my God. Oh, I don't need to see that. That's terrible.
Good Lord.
Good Lord. So I think he pulled the helmet off before he had an accident in his pants.
Pulled the helmet off. Is that kind of like the pull-out method in 2032, or how's that work?
I don't know. I think you should embrace it. There's a lot less work you have to do here. I don't know. I mean, it's like having a sex dream, like, right there in front of you, you know?
The hunka chunka. Jesus Christ.
This is no longer done. We can't exchange bodily fluids. You know what that leads to? Yeah, kids. Smoking, a desire to raid the fridge. The rampant exchange. This is great. Oh, my God. So now she's talking about after AIDS or is that all right? Oh, my God. There's like 50 diseases after AIDS, and that's why they don't do sex. This might be one of my favorite scenes in the whole movie because Stallone orgasm is one of the most wrong scenes you'll ever see in cinematic history. And he goes, oh, damn, I was a good kisser.
What about procreation?
Oh, he exchanged fluids with you.
hey, V, you want to do some of that there fluid transfer?
What are you doing, John Spartan?
Breaking the law.
You are a savage creature, John Spartan.
I wish you to leave my domicile.
Oh, this is so great.
I mean, you got they're wearing helmets. Stallone's dressed like he's an extra in Karate Kid. I mean, they're in a apartment that looks like the 60s through the 90s threw up in it. Man,
I tell you, this is one of the best scenes in the whole movie for all the wrong reasons.
Oh, man.
So he has his own apartment, I guess? Or is this, like, funded by the police that he has his own place? Like, how does he magically have his own place?
I would imagine it's something to do with the fact that he works for the police.
Well, yeah, it's clearly not as decorated as Leanna Huxley's place, so.
That would be like, my guess.
It looks like a Homewood Suites.
Oh, there's the seashells. Here we go.
Yeah, I really want to know how that works.
I don't. I'm good. Leave it to the imagination.
Happy Halloween.
Oh, so is that not his and he had to borrow that suit maybe and that's why it's off?
I think that's normal clothes that people wear there. They think he's wearing normal clothes for the future. What's he doing?
Now that's a hat, a beret.
Yeah, there you go.
That's
there
his old go. Hat, his old yeah. stuff. Is that a ball of yarn?
Yes. There you go.
Whoops, wrong number. Noble facility has been desecrated by hooligans. What is he doing with that yarn?
Well, this is what he was programmed to do while he was in the cryo chamber. This was his rehabilitation, that's why. I still don't know what that big giant clock thing is.
I don't know, but he's really holding on to it. It must be something very important to him. Maybe it's his artificial heart or something.
Maybe.
Oh, wasn't that nice? He made a sweater.
Wow, that's some pretty good rehab. I feel bad for trying to molest you. Here is my sweater.
I didn't do this. I hope you like it.
Yo, Huxley.
Huxley, there's no skin, but I guess it'll do.
You didn't get the penis, but I got you a sweater. We can just do Stallone impersonations the rest of this pod. That'd be great.
Won't you put on that headgear so we can get busy, huh?
I want to make more of those faces.
I can't use them all if I'm going to save some of them for the sequel.
Oh, God. I hope we don't see any of that in the future. That would be awful. Could you imagine Stallone orgasm face right now in 2020? Oh, it would be awful.
70 whatever year old.
I wonder if they'll get Sandra Bullock back for that.
I think at the very least she makes like a cameo appearance, I would imagine.
Well, I don't think she's beyond being in that movie at this point. I don't, you know? I think
I mean, what has she done recently?
Probably the last thing I saw her in was that Netflix movie Bird Box. That was the last thing
I
saw.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah.
But clearly Rob Schneider's got nothing going on, so I'm sure he'll return.
Oh, yeah. He'll be first in line. Please put me in your movie.
It'd be great if they brought Wesley Snipes back, but I think, you know, I don't know if that's possible. We have to wait till the end, I guess. I don't want to spoil anything.
Boy, this guy, they programmed him with a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he's the ultimate killing machine. Huh. Wonder if he could kill COVID. What a name, Dr. Cock 2. Hi, I'm Dr. Cock 2. Yeah, whoever wrote this of the names is a genius.
Yeah, I mean, some of the names are great, but then there's others that are just like swing and a miss.
Cock 2 does sound like an asshole name, so...
Yeah, it does. Oh, the Cock 2 Behavioral Engineering Complex. Nothing seedy about that, I'm sure.
Not at all. Enhancer calling... I love that she keeps calling them John Spartan.
So great.
Oh, he didn't want to show up in person. You program. Oh, now he's calling him out on what he did.
That was pretty subtle.
That was great.
And the buzzer goes off again. That's so good. I love how they keep that going through the whole movie.
Well, now he's shooting all the screens, and poor Beetlejuice guy is shitting his pants.
Where's his, was he holding his frying pan?
I didn't notice it. I did not see the frying pan.
Wow. Must be lost without it. It's like his security blanket. His security griddle, if you will.
Oh, look at this. Right on. Wow. How'd that happen? Like, did he teleport? So this guy is like the Empire from Star Wars, right? The Emperor.
Right.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Everybody keeps calling him some synonym of a Neanderthal. He just got called a Cro-Magnon now. Enjoy your moment of prehistoric bravado.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really getting sick and tired of all these nicknames.
You think I'm old now? Wait till the sequel.
You call me prehistoric one more time, there's going to be some problems.
There, he keeps getting fined.
And he passes out.
The poor fat guy just passes out. I don't know what the hell.
And he wears socks with his sandals. You know what? He deserves to pass out.
Yeah, what outfit is that guy? He's wearing a kimono, too.
Must have been very chic in San Angeles.
Yes.
Now, notice Stallone not wearing a hat, hasn't worn a hat since one.
And now
since
the rest of them don't
scene.
Either. The rest See? Of them don't either. I do like the John Lennon glasses they wear, though.
Yeah.
Those are cool glasses. And everybody in the police department wears them.
Something tells me John Lennon wouldn't be this violent, but, you know.
Well, unfortunately, John Lennon's not alive in this year.
In real life or when this was made.
Yeah. Oh, so now they're going to go and find the cave dwellers or the underground dwellers. And Phoenix. Wow.
Huxley had a bit of a mismatch of words there. She says, and I quote, let's go blow this guy. And, well, that's not what you say at that point in time.
Well, it's good to know in 1993 people still understood sexual innuendo jokes, so...
Now, how would that work with the helmets? I mean...
Well, I would imagine it would be the same thing. You know, when he had the helmet on, you saw the flashes of her face and all that stuff. Maybe it's a flashing of her performing that. And him
must
making
be, must
really,
be on a different disc or something.
And him making really awkward faces at the same time. I'm going to have nightmares tonight about that face.
I should have won an Oscar for that scene.
Hey, you know what? You should put that in the write-up. We talk about Stallone's Oscar-worthy performance. That needs to be in the write-up. That'd be great. Wait, I thought they watched Demolition Man. All right, so it smells down here in the sewers.
Oh, weird.
Big
shock smells
there.
In the sewers. Who knew?
Big shock there. Oh, but we do get hamburgers on the grill.
Huh. He wants a burger and a beer.
Who could blame him? Oh, so he's going to give her a watch just for the burger and the beer.
That seems like a lot. It better be the best damn burger of all time.
Do you imagine? I bet that's the best beer he's ever had in his life.
Oh, yeah.
Now he's eating a burger. Oh, God, this is fantastic.
Don't ask where the meat comes from. I'm sure that'll end well.
So you ask her what's in the meat, and she clearly says it's rat.
Oh, good.
So he's eating rat meat.
Huh. The bubonic plague gives it a little extra flavor.
He doesn't seem to care. John Spartan doesn't care if it's a rat burger. He's got his burger and beer. And he freaking just devoured that thing in like two swallows.
Well, as you would if you haven't had a burger in 35, 40 years. I mean,
well, and if I were Sylvester Stallone. Actually, I could devour a burger in two bites, too. Who am I kidding? I could get a Taco Bell burrito in three bites. Soft taco in one bite if I really pushed it. So how do they get this car underground in the sewer?
Oh, that's a hell of a question.
And let alone a 70 Oldsmobile.
So the only thing I can think of is, first of all, it's in great shape, number one. It wouldn't look like that if it was underground for all these years. The only thing I always thought about this scene is that this is what, like, the old Los Angeles was, and they built the new one on top of it.
Oh, yeah, so, like, this collapsed down, maybe, and this was,
right,
like, yeah,
during the earthquake. That's what I always thought.
Yeah, that makes sense. Or they shrunk it like they did the Taco Bell food at the restaurant with some kind of shrink ray. But I like your idea better. That makes more sense.
I don't know whether or not that's true. That's just what I always assumed it kind of was.
Yeah, you're on fire tonight. First the Huxley, and then reasoning for this scene. That's really good. You're on fire tonight, Matt.
Jesus, what's wrong with me?
Nothing. It's good stuff.
I'm scared. Help me. I'm making sense. This is a problem.
Next thing you know, you'll be creating those sex helmets for everybody. And
I'll be calling Stallone. Hey, can you make your funny faces again? I got a new product I got to sell.
Yo, Sandra, you want to take another stab at it? You're the guy outside Taco Bell. Yeah.
I'll call you Huxley for old time's sake.
I wonder if people that didn't know what Taco Bell was when they saw this movie really understood the... At 93, I know there's a lot of people that didn't know what Taco Bell was, so I don't even know if they even understood that whole thing. I wonder.
Right. And, you know, you watch it now when it's like, holy crap, Taco Bell is in this. And it has, you know, a pretty big part of it.
Well, yeah. And then, you know, for us to do a 25-year anniversary thing, I mean, it's just amazing. It's really cool to think about, actually.
Right. And Dennis Leary as Edgar Friendly going on one of his rants where he's basically playing Edgar Friendly, who is playing Dennis Leary.
So I assume you haven't seen a lot of Dennis Leary movies, or have you?
Not many. I've seen Rescue Me. I watched Rescue Me. That, as far as Dennis Leary stuff, that's pretty much it.
So there is a movie, I think, from this same year called The Ref.
Oh, I have seen that.
That is by far, like, if you think about the dialogue in that movie, and that is actually a really funny movie.
Yep, I have seen that. Funny.
I've been trying to get Andy to watch that on Lit, but he won't watch it. It's very dialogue heavy, but it's very funny.
Yep.
And it's one of those hidden Christmas movie gems I like to watch every year.
Right.
With Kevin Spacey, and I'm sure you won't see him in much of anything anymore. So.
No. Yeah.
There's Ventura.
There he is.
With the hottie on the lap.
What was it like filming Demolition Man, Jess? Well, I gotta tell you, Gorilla, it was great. They dressed me in all kinds of Mad Max gear, and
you know, that's
at this time it would have been WCW. So
you know, I know I get a lot of shit because of certain stances on matches at WrestleMania 3, right? But duly noted, I think. But the one thing at WrestleMania 3 that really just I didn't get, like, Jesse randomly goes down to the ring for everybody in the crowd to see, and he just filmed Predator, And he doesn't do anything. He just stands in the ring and just out of nowhere just takes Matilda back to the back. Like, why did we have to have that there for Jesse? I just thought that was really dumb. So, something that's always bugged me, and I just picked now to say it because it's like that's a throw. So,
I mean, Jesse Ventura's on the screen. There's either you talk about him or you do the impression of his voice. Those are the only two things.
Well, it's true, and I don't know next time I'll watch, unless one day somebody does Predator on this damn thing, which I hope they do, but you'll never get a chance to talk about Jesse ever again. Or Running Man. I don't see anyone doing Running Man. But.
Well, let me tell you, if nobody picks Running Man, I'm picking Running Man, and I'm getting a group together to watch it.
I'll watch Running Man. But it's interesting. But if you think about Jesse's movies, they're all similar themes. It's Running Man, or like they're all alien futuristic shit.
Right.
Which was a good call on his part because he got some good parts in some good movies.
Oh, yeah.
And then he became the governor.
I like wearing the fancy clothes in the future, gorilla.
All right, so now Simon is attacking the Morlocks with his crew.
It seems dangerous to be firing off all those guns in the sewers.
You would think, but I don't think Simon Phoenix really cares.
Such a villain.
I also think they stole some. I think that Waterworld reused some of these outfits too in later years.
Maybe.
Never seen Waterworld?
I have. I've seen pieces of it. Like, I've seen like trailers of it and stuff, but I've never sat through it.
Yeah, don't. It's a shit movie. It just looks like they have the same uniforms on there that they have
here. That's why I haven't watched it, because I've heard that.
One of the worst movies of all time.
Isn't that the movie where Kevin Costner drinks his own piss because he's stuck on the... Yeah.
You know, I believe so. I mean, you know, Kevin Costner's movies, there's so many of them that are 50 hours long, it's hard. They all kind of meld together, so...
Well, I don't think he was drinking his piss in Dances with Wolves, but, you know.
Well, you're probably right. You're right.
I mean, who knows? Maybe that was a deleted scene. I don't know.
It could have been. I certainly know he didn't drink his piss in the bodyguard, so. So, another interest. So, Simon, I like Simon's Sting haircut.
Yeah. Sting, Dennis Rodman, all in one.
Yep. Actually, Dennis Rodman framed his haircut after this movie. I did read that.
Really?
Yeah. His haircut was based on Simon Phoenix. I did read that.
Oh, that's how they got the car down there. There was a elevator somewhere.
That's the great thing. It answers the questions you need to know, except we'll never find out about the seashells.
And we'll never find out what that thing the Beetlejuice guy was holding.
No.
Because apparently that's gone.
Someone needs to tweet Stallone for these answers, please.
What was that hubcap thing he was holding in Demolition Man? Please respond. Like,
literally, the tweet is, what is Beetlejuice guy wearing in this scene? And then, how do you wipe your ass with seashells? That should be the big two questions we tweet to Stallone.
And why is he walking around in every scene with a waffle maker?
Yeah. So when you post this pod, maybe you should tag Stallone in the tweet and see what happens. That'd be pretty incredible.
Listen to us do your voice for 2 hours. I'm sure that'll go over great.
I guarantee you, Stallone would love this.
We've got the car chase now, because every action movie needs a car chase.
I call this the trope. Trope car chase. And she has no idea what to do because she doesn't know how to drive a regular
car. She doesn't know how to drive a car. That car, I should say. Well, to be fair, cars in the 70s, tough to drive. No power steering or anything like that, but... And he jumps onto the hood of the police car. No free rides.
So I feel like I've seen this scene in a million movies, right?
Oh, yeah. But not necessarily with Stallone.
Well, even Back to the Future 2 has a scene like this when Marty's trying to steal the book back from Biff on Biff's right. car. So it seems like a lot of these movies have the same. Ooh, look, it has. Now, see, that car looks like straight out of the cartoon Mask with that flying car. Have you ever seen that cartoon? That's probably before your time, too.
It is. I've heard of it. I've never watched it, though.
Oh, God. You young people miss out on a lot of good shit. Like, I feel like I can only reference old things, like, if it's Scott Grisolo's listening, or Jay, or any of those guys, because they're the only ones that were around. Or Andy. Andy probably knows more about old shit than I do, actually. So the guy is a genius with stuff like
that. That's what happens when you're on a podcast with a 29-year-old.
It's all right. It's okay.
And Simon Phoenix gets thrown out of the car onto the highway.
And he's not dead, of course.
No, why would he be?
And no car ran over him.
Still got plenty of movie to go. He can't be dead yet.
Yep.
And the auto drive in the cop car is not working. Oh, now it is. Break now, you Mickey Mouse piece of shit.
And he goes right through. That's amazing. Was that
foam?
We both said at the same time, is that foam? Could have planned that if you tried.
I don't think that would do anything in a car crash.
That was ridiculous. Crash into something, you get a face full of, like, shaving cream.
What an awful airbag that is. Looks like that Nickelodeon stuff you used to buy, like in the plastic that you like make shapes out of. I forgot the name of it. All of a sudden, this car turned into a cannoli. Oh, it's secure foam, and it saved his life. Wow.
Interesting.
Secure foam. I don't know. I'm a little leery on the secure foam method. I don't think that would work.
I think I'm with you on that. Oh, now this asshole is going to get you. You caveman, you're under arrest. So this guy, how does this guy think he's going to make him go back to cryo? They can't contain him. He'll kick their ass.
Yeah.
Oh, but he's got on.
He's got the stun batons. That'll stop anybody. I didn't even realize Benjamin Bratt was gone.
Oh my God, I didn't either, because he's been well, he's done so little in this movie, and now he's one of the Morlocks.
So do you think this is where Benjamin Bratt and Sandra Bullock got the idea for Miss Congeniality?
You know, it's possible. Either that, well, what year did that come out? 94 or later? No, it had to be later.
That might have been like 2000 or something.
Yeah, so no, I mean, I think that was just coincidence.
Well, I must say, I didn't think a Demolition Man podcast would lead me to the Miss Congeniality Wikipedia page, but here we are.
Well, there you go.
2000, that came out.
Wow, I thought it was a lot. Wow, I didn't know it was that old.
And there was a sequel.
So I am going to. So have you ever seen The Blind Side?
I have, but it's been a long time.
So
I saw it like when it first came out.
I'm going to give you a little bit of a nugget. So, it's about the football player who's adopted, right, by a family. It's Sandra Bullock's the mother. You know that, right?
Yep.
So that family actually is a Taco Bell franchisee and owns a bunch of Taco Bell franchises.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, the Tuies. Yeah, so they own a bunch of. So even at the time they adopted them, they owned a lot of different Taco Bells, and they still do right now. Just FYI.
Oh, wow.
Thought I'd share that. So another Demolition Man, it's kind of like the 6 degrees of bacon with Taco Bell. I just did it with Sandra Bullock in two movies. So she's got two movies with Taco Bell ties to it.
I can't top that. Oh, my God. Jesse Ventura kills Cock 2.
Jesse Ventura gets to kill somebody in this movie because Simon Phoenix can't kill this guy. And that was a brilliant strategy by the part of Phoenix, by the way, since he couldn't do it. Make the body do it. And then throw him into a fire. And Beetlejuice guy is shitting his pants. Start breaking out that Deo now. I'm an excellent... So now he's kissing Simon's ass so he could be his right man.
God, I forgot Jesse kills him in this movie.
I totally forgot that Jesse was the one that killed him. Me too.
God, that's great.
So he has such a small part, but it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah. Filming this movie was the most fun I've had since teaming with Adrian Adonis Gorilla.
Was he in W? So was I assume? I guess he was in WCW at the time this came out, right? Or was he fired yet?
So this came out in '93. He's gone in '94, I think.
All right. So yeah. So he. I don't remember him ever mentioning it. Did he ever mention it on any of the shows? I don't think he ever did.
I don't know. Yeah, because he was definite. He was still there and he was still on TV because he leaves right around the time Hogan comes in. Because he and Hogan hate each other like poison. So.
Well, Huxley just had her first murder death kill with a gun and she shot somebody. She's ready to go back and mind sex with Stallone after it.
Where'd you learn to kick like that? Oh, Jackie Chan movies.
Okay, that entering the area thing that they just did was so stupid. That looked how rehearsed was that scene? That looked ridiculous.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I really like those pants on Sandra Bullock.
Who wouldn't, quite frankly?
Good Lord. And the boots. The boots and the pants are great. And Stallone dressed as G.I. Joe is always good.
Great line from Huxley. Most of these guys don't even like their own mothers.
Well, one of many great lines that have been in this movie by whoever wrote this.
Right.
You know, the other good thing about this and the dialogue, you know, we watch these with closed captions on, right? So The dialogue is so simplistic, you don't have to keep up with it so much as you normally do when you do other movies. It's a big win. We picked a good one tonight.
And Stallone shock sticks Sandra Bullock so that she does not get in trouble here. Because we're coming up on the final showdown.
So I guess Simon's here. He's going to release all the bad eggs. He's going to release Jeffrey Dahmer.
That's probably problematic.
Well, I think that's his plan. He's going to release all the bad dudes and take control of the world. I wonder if Terrifier is any of these, or Pennywise, or any of those good... Oh, Mike Myers. How great would that be? I hope in the sequel they release all those good badasses.
Just line up a bunch of cameo appearances.
Yeah.
Jason. Look, it's Freddy. It's...
Well, I can't imagine it would be hard to line up, you know, the mask guys. You could just throw anybody in the mask.
Yeah, right.
But how great would it be to watch Stallone kill off, like, Mike Myers? I hope they don't do something stupid like Simon Phoenix has a twin and he's coming back for revenge.
I mean, would you put it past the sequel to bring Simon Phoenix back somehow?
they're gonna bring his twin brother Earl Phoenix.
Earl Phoenix.
Earl Phoenix.
Schuster Phoenix, his twin brother.
Oh, and there's the trophy gun dive.
The roll into the wall.
Dive roll that we see in all these movies.
That guy has worn a kimono throughout the whole movie.
What an easy role this guy had, right?
He I mean, he has to be nervous. He doesn't have his security waffle maker or whatever that is.
I feel bad for him because Stallone's shooting at the poor guy, and he hasn't really done anything wrong. He's just a scaredy cat, you know?
Think of what that piece of metal could do now. It could save him from a bullet.
Yep.
And he doesn't have it. The one time he forgets it at home.
So what's amazing is Simon actually took a moment to yell at the fat guy for running away and asked him, where the fuck are you going? Like, you expect him to stick around?
He's not trained for that.
He's on his way to find Winona Ryder to go back to Beetlejuice. Yeah, Stallone's in a little bit of a trouble here.
Yeah, he's in the clutches of that claw thing that I think moves the blocks of ice, I'm assuming.
And that is one big remote control Simon has in his hand. That's huge.
It was the 90s. Everything was bigger then.
It's like one of those big car phones that people used to have.
Jesus.
And he's just randomly shooting, and he's a terrible shot. He's shot like 100 shots, and he's missed Stallone every time.
I mean, he's a villain in an action movie. Aren't they all terrible shots?
Well, I know, but Stallone's like right in front of him. You don't get better shot. Look at this. This is the most ridiculous thing ever.
And then he blames it on the gun.
So remember, he was programmed in the cryo chamber to be the ultimate killing machine, but he can't hit Stallone from 2 feet away. Amazing.
They gave me the programming to kill, not to aim well. That looks like a ride, the way he's going around in a circle.
You know, it's funny you said that. I was like, man, this looks like Space Mountain ride at Disney World.
Coming soon to Universal Studios, Demolition Man, the ride.
It is. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. That's funny. I'll be goddamn. John Spartan just punched right through that thing.
Oh, now he's Tarzan going across.
And there's the trophy wire, wire hanger, the wire swing.
So, I'll be honest, there's a lot of shit happening in this movie right now, and we're not doing it justice. It's just happened. There's a lot going on.
There's so much going on. Now we're shooting lasers. We swung from wires. I mean, there's batshit crazy stuff going on here.
Now he's shooting a laser gun.
God, he's like the worst shot of... Oh! And now Stallone does a dive and does one of his little yells where his mouth goes to the side. There's so much shit going on. All right, so he can't kill him with guns, and now they're face to face, and now they're entering the final stage. How appropriate.
Is it cold in here, or is it just me?
And the whole time this is going on, that beret has not moved.
No.
And here we go. So we've done all the guns, we've done lasers, we've done explosions. Now we're going right down to just the old fashioned fist fight. Because that's really what we want to see. It's too bad Stallone's not wearing his Karate Kid gear here. Look at the standalone leg kick, like good old LaRusso did.
At the very least, it would give him a psychological advantage.
Sure. I found it disturbing. I'm sure Simon Phoenix would too. Man, Simon just whooping a bunch of ass on him.
Stallone with his best Rocky moves throwing those punches.
Well, it could take down Apollo Creed and Mr. T, but it can't take down Simon Phoenix. How much you want to bet the sequel has Dolph Lundgren in it?
Oh, man. Oh, God.
Well, they couldn't fight. They were too old to fight in the last Creed movie, so they could at least fight in a Demolition Man sequel, right?
Although Stallone's getting up there. How much more of this shit can he do? I mean.
I don't know. Oh, here we go. This is awesome.
Yep.
This scene right here is badass.
Freezes the ground. It travels up Simon Phoenix.
So great. And he jumps up and he misses it. Okay, so that looks a little cheesy, but anyway.
Simon Phoenix is getting frozen. And he gets cracked in his head. falls off.
That is such a great death. That is so great.
And his head explodes into a million pieces.
And of course, there's red in it, so you see the blood. That was really well done. That was an excellent death. He ain't coming back in the sequel from that.
And now he needs to escape the building, of course, because every evil lair has a self-destruct sequence.
Yeah, this whole final... Well, and there's the running fire scene again. We saw it earlier. We're doing it again. And with the Stallone yelling.
Patented Stallone face.
I wish we had simply the best from The Karate Kid playing in the background right now. That would be great. All right, so we're back right where we started with him blowing up another building. We've come full circle.
Oh, the cryo prison is also history. Mr. Peanut is not happy.
But now Mr. Peanut's have to go back to being a warden at the Shawshank Redemption Jail. If that's what they're going to have to go back to.
Wants him to get a little dirty. Hey, where's this going? Wait a minute.
All right, so now we're having useless dialogue here. Oh, and there's Mr. Beetlejuice.
Associate Bob. They finally said his name and I caught it. His name is Bob.
Can we just keep calling him Beetlejuice guy? I like that much better.
Yeah, it's a better name than Bob.
And there's Sandra. She's so stinking cute.
Thank you for rendering me unconscious.
Now will you render me something else?
I got my headset in the trunk. What do you want to do with
it? Oh, no. He's totally... Look at this. Whoa.
There's a violation.
Stallone took total liberties with her just now. And she liked it. Oh, are all fluid transfer activities like this better?
Oh, my.
So now he killed Simon by taking his head off, and he's going to go bang Sandra Bullock.
Not a bad day.
No, I'd say in all, you know, it's come full circle. He's having a good day today.
How's that damn three seashell thing work? You know, I agree.
Someone's gonna have to tweet Stallone. I gotta know.
They may just answer that question in the sequel. Who knows?
Well, maybe that's what it was. Maybe that's the cliffhanger for the sequel that's coming 27 years later.
You see, that's what the sequel is gonna be about, because Big Seashell is gonna take over the world, and there's gonna be a big problem revolving Big Seashell. You watch.
It's gonna be called Demolition Man Asshole Seashells. That's what it is. That's the sequel. Anyway, amazing movie. Just as great as I always remembered.
So great.
Yep.
As we roll credits here on this this viewing of Demolition Man, and we roll credits on this podcast. So before we wrap up, Sean, anything you would like to plug?
Sure. I got a couple things. So. Doing a few pods here and there so you can hear me on the Great Debate that's coming up at some point, which I got to do with you. So we got the luxury of doing two pods this week together, which was a lot of fun. Sure. The chicken salad that comes out once a month just came out last week, where Ben and Logan and myself go through some of the worst pay-per-views of all time. The first one we did, and we try to make chicken salad out of chicken shit. First one we did was... Great American Bash 91. The next episode that will be out probably in the next few weeks, because we do it once a month, will be King of the Ring 95. So look forward to that one. And then you can hear me on the Highway to the Impact Zone. I am one of the rotating Impact 6. So you can hear me on there, the pods every 2 weeks. So I'll be on there once a month, maybe every 2 months, depending on how the rotation goes. And then I am also currently working on a little something behind the scenes that hopefully I can make an announcement on in the next couple weeks. Another pod possibly for the wrestling feed. So that's where you can find me.
All right. Awesome. So Sean mentioned I was on that podcast, Great Debate, with him. That's probably coming out sometime in the near future. I will be on the next episode of Highway to the Impact Zone. I will be on episode 2. We looked at the first edition of Impact from 2004, and then weekly pay-per-view 98, I believe it was, right, Sean? 98?
Correct. Yep.
All right. Wow, I got that right too. Man, I'm
The first one was 97, so it's definitely 98.
That's right. Okay. That would make sense. And you can check out Jenny and the Gems as well. I'm on that. I am one of the Gems. Last episode was a grab bag episode. We each picked a match from the Hidden Gems section on the WWE Network. And we watched it. We talked about it. It was a grand old time. So, for that, once again, my thanks to Sean Kidd for joining me tonight. Sean, thank you.
No, I had a blast. Thanks for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Great. And thus concludes another episode of Piece of the Action. Thank you all for listening, and we'll catch you next time.